Mihi Nui, and a very good morning to you, Auckland. It's 5 minutes past nine, and you're listening to 104.6 Planet FM and Keep Auckland Beautiful. My guest this morning is Christy Lawson from Earth Savvy. Good morning, Christy, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rick. How are you this morning?
I am very well, thank you. So, tell me a little bit about yourself before we get into all the cool things you're doing.
Okay, well, my name is Christy Lawson. I'm a born and bred West Aucklander. I live in Glen Eden with my husband and our five-year-old daughter. And I am passionate about sustainability, in particular zero waste. I think we have a huge issue with waste in New Zealand. We were recently named the most wasteful country in the developed world.
I know, shocking.
Pretty embarrassing, and I think we can do much better than that. So I'm an advocate for zero waste living. I run a blog and a Facebook group, which has gotten rather large. It's called Zero Waste in NZ, and I recommend that everyone checks it out. And I have just recently launched, in the last couple of weeks, a business called Earth Savvy. We launched on Earth Day.
Right. Well, let's actually go chronologically, because it really all started with your own waste journey, didn't it? And then a blog, which then kind of sprung into Facebook and so on and so forth. So where did the waste journey start? I mean, what kicked that off? Was it the little one?
She was definitely a big part of the journey, yes. I think it probably started about 8 years ago when I saw a film called Manufactured Landscape.
Ah, yes.
And for those who aren't familiar with that, it's a documentary that follows a Canadian photographer called Edward Batinsky as he travels around industrialized China, and he takes photos of landscapes that have been changed by large-scale human activity. So he takes photos of places like the world's biggest dam and huge landfills and big shipping wrecking yards.
And the endless shot of the iron factory.
Yes.
As in Clothing Iron Factory.
Yes, the one that the opening track of the film, which goes for 7 minutes, and you see these workers repeating the same activities again and again. And when you look at the photos that he takes, they're stunningly beautiful images, and then you take a closer look and you realize what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just pure and utter devastation. And after watching that film, I decided I never wanted to buy anything new ever again.
Right. Yes, I found his images of quarries particularly attractive, stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, they are. They are beautiful shots.
Until you realize that it's a man-made abomination, and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And shortly after watching that film, Christmas rolled around, and I sat down with my dad and had a conversation with him and said, I don't know how you and mum feel, but we have enough stuff in our lives, and if we needed more stuff, we would go out and buy the stuff. So how would you feel if this Christmas, instead of buying each other more stuff, that we opted for some experiences? So maybe buy each other like a massage voucher or a dinner out at a restaurant.
Oh, nice.
Or we could make things. And he kind of stopped for a moment and said to me, well, we could just buy nothing at all. And I thought that was the most brilliant thing I'd ever heard. And yes, I was very excited by this idea, and we got the rest of the family to agree to it as well. They were quite happy.
Right,
not
so you
got
to go
out and try and guess what everyone wanted for Christmas.
Oh, amen.
And so that's what we did that Christmas, and it was the best Christmas we've ever had. We just enjoyed good food and good company.
Nice.
Without the stress of wondering what to get things and how we're going to deal with things that we receive. And we've done that every year since, and it's been wonderful. I highly recommend it.
Oh, nice. Now you've blogged about your journey for about, what, 3 years? 4 years?
Before my daughter was born, how long ago was that? Oh, no, after she was born. No, so, yeah, about three and a half years now.
Right.
So, yeah. She was a big part of the journey. When she arrived, I mean, as any parent knows, once you become a parent, you suddenly look at the world very differently, and you think, what kind of planet am I leaving behind for my daughter, my son? and their friends, and so you start to take things a bit more seriously, I guess.
Sure, and of course you're confronted with the wall of stuff associated with babies.
You become a walking marketing target once you become a parent. Suddenly there's all these must-have items.
You do, and they all know that you have a child. And
yes, they do.
And they hammer you and they tweak at your heartstrings.
Yeah, but the great thing about babies is they require very few things, even though the marketers would like us to believe otherwise. So I tried my best to be a green mum, I guess. I did the cloth nappying thing and homemade baby food and secondhand clothes. And,
wow.
Yeah, tried my best. But I always felt rather helpless and powerless around large environmental issues. And I always felt very frustrated by the lack of political action around issues like that. And I guess it wasn't until I discovered a book called Zero Waste Home by Bear Johnson that the light bulb went off for me. And I understood how I was connected to the problem and how I could be part of the solution.
Right. And you found a little bit more solace in your own agency, where you could control things.
I suddenly felt very empowered, yes, and realized that there were a lot of things that I could do in my life to make a very large impact. And so I transformed our household over a period of time and started replacing disposable products with sustainable, reusable items. And we went from throwing out maybe like a standard size rubbish bag once a fortnight.
Mm-hmm.
And we went from that to throwing out, it takes us about 2 years to fill a wheelie. It takes us 2 years to fill a wheelie bin these days.
Wow. That's,
so it's been quite a dramatic transformation.
That is a dramatic transformation. And I'm often torn by the debates, because you hear lots of naysayers say, oh, look, individual actions are not going to save the planet. We're all doomed because there's so many choices that we can't make, et cetera, et cetera. And while there's some truth to that, to me, the most empowering thing is to take those individual actions. And they do add up.
Well, yeah, for me personally, I want to live a life that aligns with my values. And I certainly think that those actions add up, because I see it for myself and how people respond to what I'm doing. And then suddenly they think, oh, well, I could do that too. It's like a ripple effect, you know. I had someone approach me when I was bulk food shopping not too long ago, and she came up and saw me with my jars and filling up containers and bags and things, and she realized what I was doing, and she said, you're an inspiration. And I was completely shocked by that.
Isn't that nice?
But she's gone off and she started doing the same thing. So we're social creatures. We see what other people do when we want to copy what they do, when we, you know, agree with what they're doing. So I don't think it's just a matter of, oh, we're only doing one thing. It's having a huge effect, and I can see it with the growth of the Facebook group, for example. In the last two years, it's grown to over 15,000 people. So individual actions are very powerful.
Right, so let's go there. So did you start posting your blog on Facebook and then Facebook just kind of took off? Is that kind of
so
the path?
I started a blog called A Zero Waste Warrior, I guess shortly after I discovered all of these things and thought, I need to share this with other people. I want other people to learn about these things too. And then a little while after that, I could see that there was a need to connect with people in a way that social media allows for. So I was shocked that there wasn't already a Facebook group around this, and I decided, well, I should start one.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, right. So what happens on the Facebook page? I understand you've got over 15,000 followers, subscribers, however you describe them.
Yes, it's over 15,000 members in the Facebook group. And the great thing is it's not just a huge number of people who have joined the group, but it's also a very active community of very passionate people. And it's a very positive space, so it's a really good place to go and ask questions and gather information that's going to help you for your own journey.
Right, so no matter where you are on the journey, you can get a bit of support there?
Exactly.
And what, again, is the, you know, it's facebook.com/...
Zero Waste and NZ, exclamation mark.
In NZ, exclamation mark.
Yes, the exclamation mark is very important.
Is it now? Yeah, well, good on you. And do you have regular features on there, or is it pretty much driving itself now?
So I was having to put quite a bit of content on it in the early days, but these days I don't have to do too much. The community is kind of running itself. It's very self-sufficient, so that's wonderful.
Sure. Well, it takes the pressure off you, because otherwise that in itself can become a full-time job.
Yes, it is a full-time job, and Facebook can be a little bit addictive, so it's good that it is running itself for the most part.
Yes. Now, I personally have backed away in the last year, and I think I've been on Facebook twice this year.
That's very strong of you.
And, it's an interesting addiction, and if you don't feed it, actually, the cravings are gone.
Like anything, I guess.
Yeah, but it's a ludic loop. If you taste it, you want more immediately. You know, it's a bit like those M&Ms in the bowl, or whatever your favorite Moorish food is. Once your hand is in the jar, you're stuck.
Yes, we are creatures of addiction, but we also have a lot of power to stop those addictions, I think.
Yeah. Now, tell me, 2 weeks ago, as in Earth Day, you kind of took another big step forward. What happened?
Well, for me personally, when I started out with zero waste living, I guess I found it a little bit time-consuming and expensive to gather the reusable resources that help to make this lifestyle easy. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great if there was a one-stop shop where you can get everything that you needed from one place for an affordable price? So that's where EarthSavvy came in. So it's an online zero-waste store selling reusable products to help people to reduce their household waste. It's named after my daughter, her name's Savannah, or Savvy for short.
Oh, very good. I was going to ask you that question because I read that on the page. I thought, oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, she thinks it's pretty cool that Mum's business is named after her. She feels quite special, I think.
Oh, of course. Now, that bit didn't occur to me. Of course she loves it.
So we've launched with zero waste starter kits, or survival kits as we call them. We're targeting the kitchen area because that's where most of household waste originates from.
Sure.
And so in that kit, you have reusable produce bags, reusable bulk food bags, cotton cleaning cloths, stainless steel cutlery set that you can take out with you, and a little EarthSavvy badge, and it's all packaged up in a stainless steel lunchbox, or you can choose an organic cotton tote bag, and those items are also sold separately as well.
Oh, wow. That's quite a bit of kit, if you'll excuse the pun.
Well, I for me, those are the items that are going to reduce the most waste, so that's why I've tried to jam-pack that kit with as many useful things as possible.
Sure. Now, do you have any recommendations? How do you get into the habit of using the reusable bags at the grocery store, just as a start? Because it's actually coming. The grocery stores are going to stop supplying bags, which is great in my opinion.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have not cultivated that habit. Do you have any advice on that?
So I guess an easy one is, once you have got your reusable bags and you've taken them out and you've brought them home and emptied them out, that you need to put them in a place where you're going to see them before you leave the house, whether that's straight back into your car or hanging off your bike or off your front door, somewhere really visible so that you're not going to forget to take them. And I guess also when you do go to the supermarket or wherever you do your shopping, and you have forgotten your bag, that you actually don't take a disposable plastic bag, that you force yourself to either juggle the items, because that's going to make you remember for next time, or you just grab a cardboard box from the supermarket, or you could just put the items in your trolley and stick them straight into your boot.
Right. Okay. Thanks for that, because the first lot is exactly what I did to get into the habit. Soon as I unpack my groceries at home, the reusable bags get thrown by the front door, so I can't go back out the front door in the morning without taking them to the car.
Yeah, you have to be a little bit more organized, but once you do it a few times, it becomes a habit and you don't even think about it. It just becomes your new normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what I'd like to say about zero waste living in general. A lot of people look at it and go, wow, that looks like a whole lot of work. But for me personally, I find it very straightforward these days. It takes a little bit of time to get your head around it to begin with, because you have to rethink a lot of things that you've normally done. and you have to think about new places to buy your food package-free and develop some new routines. But once you've got those routines in place, it's very straightforward and doesn't require any extra time. I don't like to spend lots of time baking and cooking in the kitchen, so I try and make it as simple as possible for the laziest amongst us.
There you go. I like that. And it's interesting, I've just had a flatmate move in the last few weeks, and it's been actually a reminder as to how far down this journey I've gone, because I've had to renegotiate a whole bunch of things that are now completely unconscious for me. Good habits.
Yeah, right. You're feeling quite evolved, are you?
Well, I wouldn't say highly evolved. I would just say, but it does actually point back to me and go, oh, actually, this, you are living very differently than you used to, because I used to flat with this same person a decade ago.
Oh, how interesting. You can see how far you've come. That's really cool.
And that's why I've got this mirror being held up to me, and I'm going, interesting. Interesting.
Great.
And something you said earlier just triggered something in my head. Mm-hmm. Why is it important that we don't just accept recycling as the default answer and carry on with what we're doing? In other words, a lot of people do feel virtuous because they start recycling, including the soft plastics and rinsing their cans and bottles, doing all those right things, which is great.
Mm.
But why is that not enough?
Recycling is an important part of zero waste living. I like to follow the five R's, which are refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, and rot. Mm-hmm. In that order. But recycling comes quite far down the waste hierarchy. And the reason for that is because recycling is a very energy intensive and polluting process. And not all the things that you pop into your recycling bin are going to be recycled. And the ones that are recycled, they're not all going to be recycled forever. So, for example, some materials can be recycled infinitely. You can recycle metal and glass forever.
Glass and aluminium will go forever. Yeah.
Aluminium, stainless steel, they'll continue to be recycled in a loop, so it's circular. But with plastic can only be recycled a certain number of times before the quality degrades to the point where it will be sent to landfill. So every single piece of plastic that we use is either going to end up in a landfill or polluting our environment. So
right.
Recycling is not going to solve the problem.
And so often the color of the plastic shortens that recycle time because it gets contaminated with a color and then its reusability gets reduced.
It's a hugely complicated process. So that's why we try to advocate for reducing your use of plastic as much as possible, because in the end, it's not a circular economy. It's instead of cradle to cradle, it's cradle to grave. So reducing plastic as much as possible is the aim of the game.
Sure. And, you know, contrary to the English language, there is no such thing as a way. There is no such place.
No, yeah, exactly. They've also done studies that show that when you recycle, when you think that an item is going to be recycled, you're actually using more of that item. You're using more of that product because you feel good about it. So it's counterproductive, I think.
It's called Jevons Paradox in the literature.
Oh, is it?
Yes,
it is.
You sound
like more of an expert than I am.
Well, this applies in energy use and actually all sorts of materials use, but Jevons originally wrote his papers, good Lord, 150 years ago, and it was about energy.
Wow.
And the more you conserve, the more virtuous you feel, just as you said.
Yes.
And you think, oh, well, I've saved this much so I can actually spend and have a little bit more. So you reward yourself. It's like saying, I didn't eat my chocolate this morning, so I'll have twice the chocolate tonight.
It's amazing how we justify these things.
it is indeed.
Yeah.
And so, yes, Jevons' paradox is alive and well, whether it's plastic or electricity or the use of our car, all sorts of things. All sorts of things.
Interesting. He sounds like he was ahead of his time.
He was ahead of his time. He was indeed. And I said 150 years ago, but I don't think it was. I think it was turn of the last century, because electricity was around when he wrote his stuff.
Mm.
Yes. Yes. Any rate, recycling. Mm. I mean, what happens when things go where we call away in the landfill?
Well, so landfills are a problem, I guess, because, well, one thing I wanted to talk about with landfill is that for Auckland in particular, well, half, well, I'll start again, shall I? Okay, so When people throw things in their rubbish bin and they get sent to landfill, landfills are not a great solution. One of the problems with landfill in particular is biodegradable waste. So there are a lot of people who are throwing their food waste into their rubbish bin and it gets sent to landfill. And they think, oh, it's just going to break down and everything will be fine. But the problem with landfills is things don't really break down. They do so very, very slowly because there's no oxygen in landfill.
Exactly. They can't breathe. The bugs.
Yes,
the
can't
bugs
breathe.
Can't breathe.
Nothing can breathe in there. So what happens instead is biodegradable waste in landfill, it actually emits methane, which is a greenhouse gas, which is 25 times more powerful than carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
So we're creating a bit of an environmental nightmare by sending our food waste and our biodegradable waste to landfill, which is why composting is so incredibly important. And I'd recommend that anyone in Auckland in particular that you get in contact with a great organisation called the Compost Collective. They run free workshops teaching you all about composting, and doesn't matter what your lifestyle, but you will find a composting solution to fit your lifestyle. So I highly recommend that people look at their food waste, and once you eliminate food waste from your rubbish bin, you'll find half of your bin gone, because that's what it is in Auckland. Half of the waste that we're throwing away is actually biodegradable waste.
That's right, and hence the Love Food Hate Waste program that not only is Auckland Council spearheaded it, but it's national now. It's everywhere.
That's a fantastic campaign, yeah. Very helpful website, that one.
And they've just published their first family meal planner recipe book. Just putting a plug out there for that. Go download it. And like a bunch of meals for a family of four for $60 for the week.
Pretty good to me.
For the week. So not only is it, not only are you saving on landfill and saving the environment, you're actually saving a pile of money.
Yeah, well, that's the other great thing about zero waste living as well. We've found in our household that we spend less than we used to, because disposable items are very expensive. You are spending money continuously, whereas if you replace those items with reusables, you're going to save yourself a packet in the long run. Also because we buy second-hand items rather than buying new. And overall, we found that our household costs have gone down, which has been a really nice bonus. We don't do it for the money, but it helps a lot.
Right. So it may have looked a little bit more expensive at the beginning, but in reality, it's proven to be a money saver.
Yeah, and you don't have to go out and buy the fancy tools. You know, you can use whatever you've got in your house, depending on what your situation is. I think there's something for everyone in this lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have the, you know, and I read this on your blog post, and it is something I do, those dirt cheap dish scrubbers, plastic ones. Well, by the time you go through a handful of those, you could have bought two or three of the really nice wooden bristled ones.
Exactly.
And the and the replacement heads that go with them.
Yeah, that's the other thing. When you start to think about the whole life cycle of the products that you're using, you start to look for things that are much better quality, and they're going to last you a lot longer and save you money.
That's fabulous. That's the way to live, in my opinion.
I think so, too.
Yeah. So what's next for Earth? You've got Earth Savvy off the ground 2 weeks ago. What's next? Where are you going from here?
Well, it's very early days. In the long run, we would like to extend the range a little bit, but I would like to keep it pretty tight. I know that there are businesses out there that provide a lot of different products, but for me, a lot of it does feel like greenwashing, so I would like to focus just on those reusable products that are actually going to reduce waste. And I'd also like to do a lot more work with the education sector, so I run zero waste workshops around Auckland, and I'd like to do a lot more of those as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, do you have anything coming up in the near future in terms of waste re-education?
What have I got coming up? No, not too much, actually. I'm mostly focusing on getting the word out there about Earth Savvy. I've discovered that it's one thing to build a website and gather the resources that you need to provide these great reusable products to the community, and it's quite another to let the world know that you exist. So that's my challenge for the time being.
Right.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. And I suppose the word's going out on the Facebook page that you've got, the Zero Waste in New Zealand exclamation point.
Yes, I have let the Zero Waste and NZ community know about the business. I try not to spam the page too much.
Sure,
but,
sure, obviously.
But yeah, they're aware that we exist, yes.
Right. So what else can you do to get the word out besides doing things like this? We've got the radio show, which you can share again on the Facebook page.
Yes, so I've been contacting various types of media, and I've actually just seen that I've got an article in the spin-off this morning, which is really fantastic. So I'll just continue knocking on those doors and letting people know that we are here to assist people in their zero-waste journeys.
That's excellent. So, Christy, tell me, on your website, you have something called a room-by-room challenge?
It's called a room-by-room guide.
A guide, okay.
Yes, it's a guide. So, basically, it takes you through each room in a standard house and gives you some suggestions for easy swaps that you can make from disposable products to reusable products. Now, your lifestyle might be quite different to mine, but it's a really good starting place. If you are wanting to reduce your waste, to be honest, a really good place to start is by looking in your rubbish bin.
Sure.
And just seeing what your biggest waste items are. For me, one of the things I did was I made a list of all of the consumable items that we purchase on a regular basis. And then I just slowly went through that list and tried to research and figure out what were some great zero-waste alternatives to those items. And I found that a lot of those items could be eliminated altogether, which was pretty wonderful. So I think this lifestyle really simplifies life, and it, one of the great things about it is it reconnects you with the planet and it reconnects you with the people around you. One of the benefits of it is that you get to know your community a bit better because you're not shopping at the huge department stores and the supermarkets. You get to go and support local business owners and you get to know them and their families, and that's a really lovely bonus point for it as well.
Yeah, it kind of builds community as a welcomed side effect.
Yeah. I highly recommend jumping off that consumer treadmill and getting back to basics and realizing what's important in life. And it's not so much stuff, because stuff doesn't make us happy. It's our relationships and our experiences.
Too right. So just to recap, like, your starter kit on Earth Savvy is pretty much focused on the kitchen, because that's where the quick, easy wins can be made, right?
That's true, yes.
And then you've got the room-by-room guide, which will give you pointers, because, as you say, we all have different lifestyles, give you pointers into each room with things to look for and look at, things you can change.
Yeah, and there's some other resources on there as well, pointing you to various YouTube videos and books and websites and things, so it's a good resource.
Well, there you go. Now, what is the URL of the website?
So it is earthsavvy.co.nz.
Okay, and that's savvy with two V's?
That's correct.
Right, just double checking there. And so earthsavvy.co.nz.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, we're almost out of time here. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey with us today.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Rick.
And I wish you really good success with Earth Savvy, because, as you say, it's a trickle-across effect.
Yeah, we can all make a difference.
Well, and we can all learn from each other. We don't have to go figure this out all by ourselves.
No, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's a whole community out of people. There's a whole community of people out there that have lots of information to provide.
Terrific. Well, thanks again, and you have yourself a lovely week.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Kia ora.
Listening. If you've missed anything in today's program, don't forget, you can listen again online at any time. PlanetAudio.org